Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Engelman, as always. It is good to be with you. Happy Daylight Savings Time, and where applicable, if you haven't done so already, change your clocks. You know, we spring forth because the weather's going to get nice and we're going to get more of that sunshine vitamin. We like that. Anyway, today is March 12th, and 11 years ago was the first Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. We've done over 1,600 shows since, and we have a great core of folks who have helped us get this thing going by providing great insight to what we do. So programming note, last weekend, my sis Queen Extreme Rhonda Harper was on the line and I missed it. Sis, you don't have to come on now, but I want you on Wednesday's show and we'll catch up then. So Wednesday, Rhonda Harper will be on our list of guests, well not guests because she's family, but she'll be on the list of people who throw something in the pot in terms of the discourse. This was a 9 p.m. with Hump Day special. Having said that, please take note of this rebroadcast as we are tracing steps and looking to do cold case in regards to the missing case of Ray Gregor and why some folks will want to do him in. We still haven't figured it out. And we know nobody else has either. So, see you in a few.
I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it is good to be in the house with you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, sponsored by the Black Athlete Sports Network. Roland Rogers, CEO in loving memory. Our friends at Blog Talk. And our friends and colleagues at WCLM. 1450 AM, the soul of Richmond, Virginia. Cowboy Reggie and crew do sports talk from noon to one every Saturday afternoon. Our friends and colleagues at WUFO 1080 AM, the mix with the mighty Oba, may his tribe increase, doing good work as they are fighting the powers that be. And hopefully we'll be successful in getting a new stadium and entertainment complex and about 15,000 jobs in the hands of people in Western New York who could surely use them, as well as our friends at Guardian Caps, Leonard Hanson and Mike Feely. Our brother Travis Singleton, who does a great job with his organization, Kicks for Grades. If you are good in school, you'll do even better on your feet. And as the terms are coming to a close now, it's even more important than ever. Pop those A's in there, get those in the lottery, so Brother Singleton can put a new pair of kicks on your feet, and that's boys and girls, as well as the rest of our crew here, all the chefs doing their thing on the side. So we come together, we put a good buffet of thought out there for you guys. Among them, the bad man from the East Bay himself, Gary Norris Gray.
What up, Jake? What up? How you doing, Philadelphia? How you doing, brother?
Hey. Everything is all good over here, brother. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, we got a situation over Oakland, Alameda County School District.
Oh, shit.
You know, Michael, I really got to say this.
Go ahead.
I had a disabled student in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was never going to get going through. I've been there too.
Yep.
Man, you're a disabled person. You have the mercy of non-disabled people. What I mean is, you have to go from point A to point B. Man,
Uh-huh.
And go where I go, there's no choice. And this is what happened here. This is what happened here, Austin. And it was 2 weeks ago. This young man was going into the elevator.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to go in the elevator.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to do this, right? Well, this security guard that's going in the elevator, He's about to turn it over and drag him into the elevator.
Now, hold on, guys. So, guy, hang on a sec. So we can get everybody the depth of all of this. This was a, is it called Oakland High School?
Oakland High School, in the middle of Oakland, the middle of the city of Oakland.
Okay, so this is Oakland, California, not Oakland, Michigan, so that everybody understands the difference. And this was a disabled student, a young man who had cerebral palsy and was in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And the security guy dragged him into the elevator, but he knocked the chair down first because the kid did not want to go in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the beginning. That was the beginning of it. It goes on.
Uh-huh.
In the elevator, he beats him up. Shit. He gets out of the elevator, puts him back in the chair, puts him down the hallway, and smacks him so hard, he turns over again.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Now, see, that shit ain't right.
No, but see, this happens every day. It's a murder. It happens every day.
What happened to the guys? Did they catch this on film?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened when the video was presented and people saw it?
Okay. This comes the first part.
Okay.
The first video came out on Friday, walking down the hallway. The second video.
Yep.
Came on Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
Either way, people get upset, the whole district got upset.
Before you go further, the first video, was that shown from in the elevator or was it prior to going in the elevator?
First video was the last part, going down the hallway.
Okay. So you were smacking up from out of the elevator going down the hallway.
Nobody saw the person. There's a pre-video video nobody saw it before.
Okay.
When people saw the first video, they said, oh, hell, we can add it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You know.
Now, what bothered me about this is that you had three students standing around looking.
Yeah.
Now I think that's what bothered me about this whole thing. These 300 students that stand there didn't do anything at all. Another guard who kicked them. Another guard laid on the floor.
What did they do to the guard who got caught on film smacking the kid around? Is he still working there? Did they fire him or what?
All of these guards are suspended.
Oh, they're suspended. Okay.
The one guard who did them is now in Alameda County Jail.
Oh, he arrested him. Oh, good. There you go. All right. Put his ass behind bars. Now, the person who hit him, the security guard, was he black?
Yes. What was the man who got motherfuckers?
Yes. Fry them both. You know, it's interesting that you said that because the video is what did them in. Ironically, we picked up some late stuff earlier this evening from some soul patrollers, and it's a shame that we have to even go in this direction before we get into the meat of our menu tonight. But this is important because even though we know now that our privacy has been compromised greatly, there are other aspects to this thing, through cameras, through videos, through recordings, that really put people, or should put people, on their P's and Q's to realize, you know, even if you think you have a right to privacy, your ass is being watched anyway. So having said that, I'm going to play two parts of an incident that happened. This happened in Cheektowaga, New York, which is upstate New York, near actually around Buffalo area. It involved a woman who was calling somebody all kinds of names and whatnot because that person allegedly hit their kid. And I'm also going to include her response when a radio station up there was going to offer a chance for her to say, look, I'm not really as bad a person as you think. Both sides of the story here, I want to first play the audio of what happened in the initial incident. It's about 4 minutes each for both of them. So here first is the incident itself. Again, this is Cheektowaga, New York.
Okay.
I have her on tape calling me racist comments, calling me a nigger in front of her kids.
She scared my children.
Well, it's cameras out here. And we'll see. Because we'll definitely be filing charges. Please call the cops.
Please,
thank you.
Yeah.
Please. Got everything on tape. Your voice, too. Calling me a nigger. If that's how you feel. You might as well take care of your kids. Don't worry about me.
I know where my kids are.
Okay, good.
Don't touch. I'm bringing your father down there.
Please do. It's okay, buddy.
You don't like black people either.
Oh, that's good.
I got this. Yeah.
Apparently there are video, rather audio gaps in this. It is a video showing something that's going on, discourse between the guy.
Racism alive and well. Amazing.
Sure is. It's disgusting what black people got it to.
Really?
Really.
You called me a nigger and I just wanted to sit back, huh?
Scared the shit out of my kids.
You call me a nigger, I just want to
sit
back.
You scared the shit out of my kids.
By third of my car.
Oh, fucking wow.
Amazing.
Oh, fucking wow.
Wow, you got your kids cursing at me too, huh?
Don't talk to my kids.
Wow, this is amazing.
Do not talk to my kids.
Okay.
Talk to this fucking nigga right now. I am telling you, he's video recording me. He scared the shit out of Anthony. He started in the car. He wanted to run his mouth, talk about BB and his nasty mother. Fucking say nothing to him now.
That.
He's got me on videotape, and I'm still flipping the fuck out.
You called me a nigger.
I called you a nigger. You're a nigger. Nasty fucking nigger.
Okay. You might want to get
because
your...
Because he's a fucking loser, that's why. He thinks he's going to get something out of it.
Oh, no wonder. I don't feel people.
Oh, he knows the cops. How many cops have I stripped for? You ain't getting fired, bitch.
Okay.
Tell him, dude. You will fucking kill him. Don't even fucking... I'm telling you right
that's
now.
That's very, very good.
I will fucking yank his ass out of the car.
Please do.
I don't know. What? Because you want to put it on YouTube, try and ask hard because I called him a racist? Because he's a racist, ignorant nigger? And tell him what? He's a racist fucking nigger? All right, you're done. My lawyer's involved.
Good. Thanks.
Stay here. My husband's coming.
Okay, sure.
Hello? I told him your comment. You're whooping his fucking ass. Get the video off my kids now or I will fucking break it. I'm going to whip my coffee at him.
Go ahead.
Not stop fucking...
So there's a gap in between where they're muttering back and forth. Camera's still on, you can hear her in the background. Well, it looks like it's outside of a mall.
The
police never showed up.
Oh, yeah,
more security. You would think. But nobody showed up.
Racism is alive and well, I tell you. Alive and well. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But this is where we live at. This is exactly where we live and what goes on. I start my car. She calls me a nigger. Amazing.
It's important to point out this was not the Deep South. You know, this didn't happen in the bowels of Mississippi or the backwoods of the other side of Stone Mountain, Georgia. This shit happened in New York State. And for somebody who grew up in New York City, I can tell you, they definitely have their time in the barrel when it comes to racism up here.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which puts out quarterly a map of all the racist sites across the country and how many there are, I can tell you there are just as many in the New York, New Jersey area than there are in any state down south, by far. Easy. So it's not a regional thing. This is something that is permeated across this country. It is infused in everything we say and do and in all aspects of society. Now, here's the response where the woman came on air at a local radio station. I believe it's 93.7. I think the call letters are WBLK. But here's the response that was picked up on radio. Now, remember, this isn't internet radio. This is FCC-style radio. So just check out the woman's deportment as the interview is done.
Just want to let you know that this is being recorded. And just wanted to give you an opportunity to, you know, tell your side of the story. There's two sides to every story. And, you know, what we see in the video is what we see in the video. But you're claiming that there's something that transpired prior to everything being...
He almost hit my son.
He almost hit your son with his car?
Yeah. And my son said something. I said, I'm sorry, Anthony. Some people are just ignorant. And then that guy goes, oh, really? And called me. I don't know what he called me. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you almost hit my son with your car.
Okay.
Then he called me a crack-headed cracker.
But let me ask you. Let me just clear the air here and ask you.
I'm not a racist.
Well,
I have a black cousin.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Are you? I mean, do you have something against black people?
No, I don't.
Because I'm wondering how the term like nigger even came up.
He just pissed me off. I'm bipolar, and quite frankly, if you look it up, nigger means an ignorant person.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with race.
All right, but
it's okay for him to call me a cracker and a monkey, though. That's racist.
No, that's not okay. It's not okay. But I do have to ask you, because I heard you say to him, they don't like black people either, referring to your kids.
Oh, because my son was sitting there talking, he was yelling at him.
You
wouldn't say good parenting? I was like, my son doesn't like you either.
Yeah, well, you said your son doesn't like black people.
Oh, well, I don't even know what I thought. I was pissed off.
You're pretty upset. Well, you know, this, unfortunately...
Don't touch them, they're yucky.
Unfortunately, we live in the age of, you know, people have cell phones and they tape things and put them on YouTube and things...
Yeah, I'm all over the place. And my ex wants to try and take my kids, so this has been a very fucking great day for me.
Oh, man. Well, just once again, you know, you have a captive audience. We're going to put this on the post so that it'll balance things out with your rendition of what took place. So, you know, just go ahead and say...
I'm really not a racist. I was just pissed off.
Just say whatever you want to say to people in terms of what happened and in terms of who you are and what you want people to know about you. Go ahead. Janelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just not a racist. If he didn't try and almost hit my kid, none of this would even happen. So don't you call me a crack-headed cracker?
Well, let me ask you a question. If the guy were standing right here with me right now, what would you want to say to him?
Honestly? For ruining my life right now? For me about to lose all of my kids? You want to know my answer? It's not a very wise one.
Well, I don't mean with respect to him posting it on YouTube.
He has no business posting anything, especially of my children, on the fucking internet.
Well, what I'm asking you is, what would you say to him in terms of you know, calling him a nasty nigger?
So what, am I supposed to apologize?
You're not supposed to do anything. I'm just giving you the opportunity to say whatever you would say to him.
I'll apologize for him almost hitting my kid and me losing my temper.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, we'll take a bath in a minute.
Well, I'm going to... I'm going to post this on the website so that people will know that there's another side to the story, okay?
Well, but nobody cares, but thank you.
All right, well, take...
I write all the comments.
Well, you never know. I mean, your side of the story hasn't been told, so... There's, like I said, there's two sides to every story, and you've just told yours.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, Gary, so you heard this, and actually I saw Celeste trying to get in. Celeste, don't call back as soon as you get a chance. But, Gary, as you hear both of this, the back and forth, what's your immediate take from this?
Reviewed it, because during
Well, they're not going to come to terms with it because they created it. Gee, come on now. I mean, I'm thinking that when you said that, I was thinking about the segment in the Richard Pryor skit, rather, in the Richard Pryor album, where he's talking about this. He's like, you know, we got new niggas. And he's talking about the Vietnamese, and he was making specific reference to the boat people. Now, I didn't realize the part that you just said was real, because you just said they're teaching myself. Nigga. And if you say it right, you know you're saying it right when you get your ass kicked. Now, there's something very fucked up about this. But if we flip back to this incident, you know, she said, look, I got a black cousin, you know. Now, who knows, she might call him that too if he's ignorant. But the long and short of it is that this climate, this racial climate has been on simmer up to the election. People realize you had to have a level of civility. After the election, those circuit breakers were removed. And everything is just flat out. We've seen the president call the nigger twice. Once by Rick Santorum, that motherfucker who the mainstream media still hasn't held to accountability on, and another by some redneck sheriff up in, I believe, Maine or Vermont, who called him a nigger, and he didn't say nig or hold it back. Okay, he called him it. He said it straight up. There was no trying to make an excuse about what he said. But the point is that they've gone to the person who theoretically has the title of the most powerful person on planet Earth right now because of where he is president of or from. And they made sure that this office was devalued by saying that anything that this president could or would do would be devalued immediately. Yeah. And the only atmosphere in which he can operate in is one that every person of color, every woman, every somebody who is not white and male will have to endure in this country to varying degrees, whether people want to admit it or not. And it goes from just normal interactions or supposed normal interactions like that at a mall to the workplace. Now, I want to play this next piece of audio because it has to do with something else that will be part of our menu tonight, and it has to do with a lawsuit, a equal opportunity lawsuit filed in Memphis, Tennessee by two former employees whose boss was torturing them verbally and made asides about, if you drink from this water fountain, you know, you will be hanged, because the water fountain should have a sign saying whites only. Now, this picked up a little bit of a noise on social media, but I want to give you the report as it came from down in Memphis, and I want to then, after it's played, speak to you guys why this is important, not just because of the incident and so, but the location.
There's no way to know the full context of these recordings, but no matter how you hear it, it's disturbing. This is a workplace, and the voice on the recording is her talking about hanging one of his black employees. It sounds like Memphis from a time when black people couldn't eat at white lunch counters. But this morning, two black men who worked at an industrial cotton gin, of all places, say they were faced with these racist remarks from a supervisor, told they couldn't drink from certain water fountains, one of them recording it with a cell phone.
Put your hand on the water, man, because I'm gonna drink it.
It was stressing me out so much. I mean, I got to do something about this, because this man gonna keep doing this to me. We was going through this like every day at work. You know, when we got tired of it.
Antonio Harris and Mario Mangrum say this went on for months.
You told everybody in the warehouse, look at him, don't even like a monkey. We all know what monkey means, you know. I mean, this is very offensive.
Now the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is investigating discrimination claims after the two workers filed a federal complaint. Lawyers watching the case say the warehouse will need to settle.
I'm sure there are going to be other witnesses who can also confirm that these things were said. Sounds like a good case to me.
We reached out to Federal Conference, the company that runs this warehouse, and they got back to us this morning saying that they have a zero tolerance policy for this and that the person was immediately removed from that workplace and is, in fact, no.
Now, what they don't say in this piece, Gary, is that one of the brothers who filed the suit worked at another cotton manufacturing plant for 12 years, and said he never encountered any of that stuff that was done here, that this redneck who took the sheets off things, so to speak, who talked about the whites only water fountain, all this shit, was somebody who supposedly was subcontracted by a company, I guess, who, you know, sends people out, you know, a temp company or whatever, that hires businessmen or bosses to do stuff like this in this neck of the country. And remember, because it is Memphis, it's Tennessee, it's a right-to-work state. So if Massa decides that you ain't working hard enough one day, your ass can get fired. So this is a different type of environment. This is an environment where they know they're under stress. And even the simplest things, like not even thinking about it, but going to get some water because you've been busting your ass and you're a little parched, could cost you something. Whether it would have been you getting hung or you getting fired because you had a drink of water, it's not the point. The point is that this man definitely wanted to manage by fear. And he wanted to make sure that everybody knew their place. So give me your take on this, Jay.
We are going back to 1941, 40, whatever day you want to pick. See, we as African Americans had to begin to really speak up. What happened? What happened is this. In 1970, we dropped the ball. We dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is, what's going on right now? What's going on right now is because we dropped the ball, right? The African-American church, that's speaking up. The NAACP, that's speaking up. The Congressional Black Caucus, that's speaking up, right?
Uh-huh.
Every time this happens, back in the 60s, what occurred? There was a massive movement against the individual and that company. Do you see it now? No.
No, you don't see it now, and that's part of the problem. The issue of you dropping out, of the dropping of the ball, or the disconnect, or however you want to phrase it, is a very real thing. In the mix, we have our co-host. She's been on assignment for a while. Back in the mix, Lester Wallen Kelly. What's up, Seth?
Hello, gentlemen. I hope you haven't been out of control. I haven't been around to keep an eye or ear on you.
We've been busy. And right now, Celestial, we are discussing a bit of audio that came out from Memphis, Tennessee, where EEOC lawsuit is being filed from a cotton manufacturer, two former employees who said straight up, you know, this white man was telling them, their boss was telling them, don't drink out this faucet, it's for white only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we've heard all this stuff before, but the difference here is that the former employees got this asshole on tape saying these things. And they've even said as much in the audio report from the news station that, oh, they'll get a settlement out of this because it seems like the evidence is incontrovertibly clear that, you know, they were definitely discriminated against in the workplace. You know, you having to deal with workplace situations, give me your take on this. And because of the recording via the phone and whatnot, is it fair to assume that, okay, we know we supposedly have an expectation of privacy, but because of technology, is that expectation in quotes? Because obviously now you got to know in the real world, you got to mind your P's and Q's, as the old saying goes.
Yeah, the way I see it now, to me, this we're being listened to, and our phones are tapped, and we're being everything. We all know this. I've already said whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know it, but the culture of the country now is I can say whatever I want to say,
and
I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Correct.
There you go.
And the top, the lid was taken off the pot once we got a black president. This
yeah,
stuff,
hello.
has been brewing and stewing, and they've kept it on the low, and they lost their ever-loving minds, and we stepped into, we stepped into bizarro world, okay? The president's wife said, eat more vegetables. Oh, Lord, eat a cookie instead. You know, everything is the opposite. All this hatred you're hearing, all of this people want to lynch folk and just total straight-up disrespect has nothing to do with these cell phones and cameras and all this other kinds of stuff. It comes down to people with hatred and insanity, and they just cannot contain this inbred hatred of people of color. Part of it could be because the world is going dark, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. They can't control it. But what bothers me even more is a select group of colored folk.
Yes.
Who feel that they got to be more, they got to show that they hate more than the white folk do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. They get on TV and they get on Fox and they get on, they go on Wall Street Journal and, yes, the president is this and yes, black folks, they're lazy, they're this and that. They got to be one up on, I don't care what topic it is, they can always find one to trot out.
Ass kisses.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I can't, sometimes, there's a good brother that, Michael, you may see me debating with him from time to time on Facebook. Anytime Obama does anything, anytime there's a black person who comes out and says, oh, I don't like what the president's doing. Well, he got to post it and tell me to read books. And I said, brother, I read all kinds of books. Okay. See, I don't stay in one section of the library because you can give me a whole lot of books on one topic that says one thing, but you're not learning anything.
Thank you.
You're just regurgitating what's been put in front of you. Okay, so one of his things was the good brother who Ben Carson, who, you know, he's a brilliant man. Brilliant man, but he's the latest, he's the flavor of the month now.
He sure is.
So I get what you're saying. These I saw the interview with these two young men who were insulted. I know this has happened before. I know it's going on, not just in the South, it's in the North. It's going across the middle of this country. It's out on the West Coast. It's everywhere. This this deep hatred that was kept underground long as the darkies stayed in their place.
That's right.
But once a black man was elected, he's the most powerful man in the free world.
That's right. It is.
They lost. There, did you ever see Mars Attacks, the movie Mars Attacks?
Yes,
and
I saw Mars.
And the music, they played this once on Happy Trails and their heads would explode.
That's exactly what did happen. Heads did explode.
Their heads would explode. Well, now they are walking around. They are marching, all 20 of them, marching in Washington. Oh, yeah, you know, everything Obama does, give their grandmothers health care and food stamps, they take it away and it's Obama's fault. I mean, it's just amazing to me that they can't stop and think for themselves. Now, I don't go lockstep just because he's the president. I don't go lockstep.
Exactly.
But people need to think. Like the clowns in L.A., the NAACP have been lining their
pockets. Oh, don't get me started. We ain't got started in their asses. Good, so let's for that nonsense.
That's what I mean. You have people from the black church, like the good brother was talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got our own people who lost their minds, like the sister dragging the baby down the aisle on her wedding
day. Oh, I saw that nonsense, yes.
Come on, man, folks, come on. Uh-huh. Read a book, sit down. Get off your phone.
How wretched can you get? Mm-hmm.
Get off your phone.
We got the professor in the mix as well. Bear with it. But I want to step back to Memphis for 1 second because I actually saw this on social media, and when I responded, I said, where's Steve Cohen? And the reason I brought up Steve Cohen's name is because he is the state representative for his district, which includes all of Memphis. That is the same Steve Cohen that on July 29th of 2008 got up in front of Congress and led the so-called delegation of about 130 people to apologize formally for slavery. Something, of course, that no mainstream media, newspaper, or TV station, or anywhere else other than Black Athletes Sports Network, and a brief mention of it in the Philadelphia Tribune, spoke on. Now, having said these things, you know, we point to Memphis and all this stuff happening down there, but the lack of action on any level until there was incontrovertible proof in the hands of someone's cell phone. It's an extension of how the technology has developed from the whole world is watching, where people had to wait for days to see video of fire hoses and dogs being turned on and sicked on Black people, to now in the instant it takes to record a conversation between all four of us, and again, the professor is included in this. Fred, I go to you first. Isn't it amazing how, in spite of this technology and in spite of knowing that these things can happen, because the woman in New York, when she saw the guy was taping her, she said, I didn't give a fuck. You're still a nigger. So in spite of all of that, the level of racism has been ratcheted all the way up. And everything points to the president being reelected, or is there something else, or not even reelected, the first election. So, but is there something else that we can point to here that maybe we've missed? I'm going to ask you that first, and yeah, good evening to everybody, by the way. Give my man.
Good evening to all of y'all. I wish y'all quit mixing up me in this kind of conversation just because I'm from the South. We're used to this. You are the ones who got all this subtle bull crap where everybody's nicey until they lose their job. But who's he? Is that Cheryl that's talking?
That's Celeste. She's been away a while. Celeste.
Okay, Celeste. I'm at that age now where you got to talk to me more often. That way I can keep your voices straight. Back in the day, I could keep 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of y'all straight. I can't do that no more, so come on. Be close to a brother now. And whatever you do, don't talk too loud. And the speed is great, but don't talk too loud. I have some sore things these days. I'll go so far as to say, this is simply God holding a mirror up to the face of these folks and letting them see who or what they truly are. Let them know the liars they not only are today, but the liars they've been for years. They ain't like niggas in the first place. They don't like them now. They ain't going to like them in the future because they're too hypocritical. Now, having said that, the things that you see going on around here, you know, whether it's sports, all of us have heard this. I don't have to watch the TV to know who and what they're talking about. It's about position, about how they describe them. Larry Bird was always a great, smart basketball player.
That's right. And a pure shooter. Don't forget that. He's a pure shooter.
And he's slower than I am. So, you know, they let him hold. That was the only way he could play defense. He held more than I did when I wrestled. But they made allowances for it. They make allowances for themselves, and they don't make for us. They hold us to a different standard, usually a higher standard. But you know what? I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. You know what? Because we're that good.
We're far
greater than we ever thought we were. Part of the problem they have with President Obama is this. the Negro got in there and did stuff that they tried to do for ever since they got,
there you go.
Mm-hmm. 80 years ago? 90,
yep.
80 plus years ago? They got
yep.
a Social Security pass. They've been trying to get health care in place for 80 years.
Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm.
And what happened? You know, listen, this I wish this was not true because it's so funny. There's a lady who I see at the library just about every day. She got a son that's something wrong with that boy because, one, he don't take no bath. And two,
okay.
He plays in some kind of stupid game religiously. You know, bouncing back and forth. But anyway, he got problems. So does she.
Mm-hmm.
One of the stickers on the back of her Expedition, I don't know, it's an older model, but she drives an Expedition that they live in. And one of the bumper stickers on her car, on her truck says, repeal Obamacare. Now, at her age, she got to be on Medicare because she looked like she's well past her 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a level of hate that's out there because, see, these people are willing to vote against their own interests.
Self-interest, yeah.
For the sake of getting at this Negro. And, you know, before they sound like I'm condemning them, I'm condemning us too because we voted against our own interest for years.
Thank you.
You know,
that's exactly right.
I constantly tell people, you know, how do you know this person? Hey, I used to go to Jesse Hill's functions. I used to go to Johnny's functions. I used to go all kind of Republican and Ronald Reagan functions, George Bush function. I saw these crackers sitting up in there. I was on a first-name basis, but then why you still call them Mr.? I didn't call them
mm-hmm.
Mr. I call them John, Jack, whoever, because we were cool. They
mm-hmm.
were good conservatives. Jesse Hill's won North Carolina. All those, I mean, he ran eight times and won eight times. And guess what? At no time was the electorate in North Carolina anywhere near 30% Republican. It's not even that now.
Mm-hmm.
But if Uncle Jesse could get up and say, I want to throw his hat in the rain, all them died in the wool. I voted for Obama. White folk would be straight up and down going after Jesse Ham. And I say that because we look at the level of hate as if it comes from one side. It ain't coming from one side. It's coming from both
no.
sides. It's all those hypocritical folks who profess to be Christians and everything they do is only love the Lord. But then, you know, and the Bible tells us, I bring down kings. So with that, you know, that's a paraphrase for that quote. But it tells us that he puts, you know, I don't want to set people up to lead. And so now they're telling God, yeah, forget the Americans, the liberals, and the conservatives. Forget all that. They're telling God he screwed up.
Yep.
Now, come on. How jacked up can you be? But see, just like people in the Bible, and I always say it this way, if you examine the people God used in the Bible, you don't have to agree or disagree with me about them, but look at them. 99% of them were jacked up from the neck up some kind of way. Paul wrote most of the New Testament as we know it. Paul evangelized so much of the known world at the time. But Paul had been a murderer. Even the people who murdered were primarily Christians. He was,
mm-hmm.
matter of fact, the day he got religion, and then they talked to him, he was on his way to knock on some more Christians. But God didn't help. So, you know, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna see something come out of this. It's gonna be mind blowing. It ain't gonna be about Obama. It's not gonna be about right or left. It's gonna be about God showing up and showing off because he's the one. Think about it. 6 years before he was elected, well, less than 6 years before he was elected, he had to give up his senate seat.
That's
less
right.
than 6 years before this man was elected. Who knew of him outside of Harvard campus and Harvard alumni?
That's right.
And who knew about this man outside of Chicago? Okay, matter of fact, who knew him all the way across Chicago? Because a lot of them didn't know him.
That's right.
But I remember talking to somebody, and they said, who?
Exactly.
They're not even taking it out. They didn't know who the man was. Oh.
Right.
I heard him. Like, well, like, he was kind of cute. Another guy was telling me, hey, man, his wife was fine. But this is what they knew about. They knew nothing of him. And see, putting somebody in place has done the kind of stuff that this man has done, had to be an act of God, because the devil wouldn't do that for us.
Well, having said that, let me throw this in the mix then, because there's another aspect of this that we haven't touched on. Gary, I'm going to start with you first. And it has to do with the fact that there has been, a couple of centuries or so of programming done to black folks, to folks of color.
Yeah.
You know, this takes a lot of mental wrangling to shake itself free. I can remember the interview I had with the great scholar, the great Nigerian author, Dr. Chinua Achebe, and when he was talking about how Africa still had to shake its head about all this, because he said just because we have been able to declare ourselves free after 100 years of systematic racism and control doesn't mean all of a sudden my magic shit's going to be all right now. You know, it doesn't work the magic. We still have to deprogram a whole lot of other folks about all of this. And this, all of these incidents that we just played, now we've elaborated on them thus far, this all smacks of the insane programming that has been in effect since we all were born, since our parents before them and their parents before them.
Michael, look at the violence of our
government.
What do they do? They get Native Americans to go forward to the name, the violence of our government. They get Native Americans and they know the name, the reason they even think of me.
Right.
So how can you be a good Native American and say it's okay? Which is what they done.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the violence of our government has been there for 50 years.
Right.
And you know what I mean? That you go by his Native Americans and support his name. I don't think so. But yeah, they do.
But a racist was allowed to buy it. And they didn't give a shit whether he was racist, more about whether he was white. So, that's the sidebar to this.
But people are what we call apples. Apples are Diners, best friend.
Right.
We had all those cookies. Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is a disaster for black people. Why?
Why would Native Americans, Gary, be any different that you would have some who would do the same thing as some African Americans have done? When you said the apple, obviously, right on the outside, right on the inside. So, yeah. You know, that's applicable. That's part of what I'm talking about. So if I were to say this was more about programming and control than incivility, just finally getting to a boiling point, how much of that would you say out of 100% might be valid?
It's 100%. If you keep telling me, the sky is green, but you know what color is.
Mike.
Yep. We have discussed Willie Ranchsteader up in the side and down the other. And I buy what Dr. Franklin as well as Dr. Bennett said, because on a scholarly level, it does not exist. It did not exist. He found no real letter.
But again,
in spite of the lack of a letter, we know they did something. And
exactly.
Here's where, and see, as crazy as we are behind some of this stuff, and I use the term loosely, I did get a D in psychology, so I do know a little bit about psychology. But you know, as much as we are mental, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're paranoid.
That's right.
Borderline schizophrenic, as we are very much seeing now.
Well, the woman said she was. She said she was bipolar in the first audio clip we played, the incident in New York State. So yes, you're right about that. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you played the one about the police chief in New Hampshire, wherever he was, the town with 14 black folks. He's gonna call
the president. And he called the president nigger. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. I had to get on a friend of mine's case over a week ago about some leadership things.
Mm-hmm.
And among the things I talked to him about is, okay, no matter how good or bad things are going as a leader, you got to strike a balance.
Right.
If it's going good, you got to look for what's bad. If it's going bad, you got to look for what's good. You got to do that kind of stuff. But see, these people are willing to go to all kinds of extremes. They're willing to go out there, in leadership, you cannot buy too much of one extreme or the other. You got to stay towards the middle, because that's where most of the people are, and especially in political leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the far left and the far right and all this kind of stuff, but if you count those who are truly far left and those who are truly far right, you wouldn't have 5%.
You're right about that.
Together,
mm-hmm.
on the two sides. They could, you know, they couldn't, there's not enough votes among them to get a person elected. Never mind mm-hmm. do anything else of true substance other than sit down and run their darn mouths. Well, because they're allowed to go out there and be louder and, you know, more vocal than anybody else, they get away with this nonsense.
Exactly.
I had a friend, and we make a comparison between Senator Helms' actions in office versus, and I'm talking about away from the political eye.
Mm-hmm.
I know about the black apartments he got funded. I know the low-income apartments he got funded. I know the different programs he helped get funded. I know some of the ones where he reached out to some friends of his that, you know, the government don't need to do that. If all you need is $500,000, I can raise that before sundown. Get on the phone, make phone calls, and bang, go to your mailbox, it's there. I've seen him, I saw him do this, I know him doing this kind of stuff. But, you know, to get elected, he had to use the hand, the fist, with the balling up the job application, because
he
knew black folks weren't going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Not on their best day in the best way. He knew they weren't going to vote for him, so he had to get reelected. And, you know, having said that, though, when you look at those people now, the moral majority types, the quick Christian light and all this kind of stuff, you know, seemingly the worst hate is coming from the church people.
No shit.
Ain't that a big blip? Because ones that you would think would be more supportive of things that require love, you know, those kind of biblical things.
Mm-hmm.
They are the worst ones. You know, just like some of the black preachers I know who don't want to teach black history, but they want to talk about it. They want to glorify the Greeks and the Romans and anybody else. And they're so crazy, they don't understand that even the Egyptians are in Africa. You know, this is how warped this whole thing is. So you got a lot of crazy out there on both sides. The problem is their crazy comes out hating us. Our crazy comes out hating us.
Hating us.
So
that's right.
So, you know, and self-hate is always going to be worse than people hating you. You can sort of filter things coming from outside. But when it's in you, you know, it's like you're the one standing in the water now, so you know what
it's all about. You just made my point then. So that's what Fred just said. Doesn't that get credence to the whole premise that this environment where everybody is so bombarded with this shit gets to a point where some folks can't handle it, they'll lash out to a degree. And like Fred said, you might have some on the fringe, but there's some who eventually just succumb to it and embrace that self-hate aspect to it. Throw something in the pot.
Well, what amazes me
Hold on, G. Go ahead, Slash.
They will say something that's absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can pick it from the left, the right, down the middle, up top, down below. Throw something, I mean, absolutely ignorant out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on television and justify it.
Yes.
What amazes me is people no longer care that they're showing a lack of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have a problem with you if you really believe something. This is your belief. I always have a great respect for someone who believes something. The world is, you know, flat. Now, I know it's not flat, but you believe it's flat and you're telling me why it's flat, and it's okay. I will say okay, because that's your truth.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have these other clowns out here waiting for someone to feed them a lie. Oh, like, okay, all right. Today I'm going to say the sky is pink because the president said the sky is blue. So I got to say something that's against what he said to show that I'm really down, okay? And then our people who want to be part of my best friend is one or my neighbor is one, here they come trotting out. Not because they believe, but they want to be included. They want to be in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be included. They don't care that they're saying something idiotic. They don't care anymore. People, I don't care what color, they're out there on television and in newspapers, on phones and social media, just throwing craziness out in the world.
Yeah.
And you've got to learn how to be strong and go back to books and really start researching and really holding on to what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some foolishness out there now.
It's deliberate.
And our people, yeah, I mean, I am amazed when you turn on television now and I see sisters fighting, tearing their clothes off each other, 10-inch long eyelashes, and just rolling around on TV, just rolling around. Let's see who can be more ratchet than the other.
Thank you.
You know, I saw Sister Iyanla try to talk to one of these people, and any time she had to throw her hands up and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Things have gotten over the top and above. You gotta sit back. Sometimes. And I work with young people in a college environment. And sometimes I got to tell them, I said, you know, just listen to what you just, did you actually hear what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get that from? Well, I heard so. Well, why did you believe it? Because so-and-so says, and it's not, you know, because we're always good to throw our hands up and say these young people today, well, where did they learn that foolishness from?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's fact-finds. I mean, that's journalism 101.
Mm-hmm.
Fact-find.
It has something to do with that, you know, what is the exact document that this woman is going to do? And I say, you know, I don't get exactly what you need to do, but I think it's been a long time ago. And you got young people now quoting that, which tells me if we were truly teaching our kids the kind of things that they need to learn, I'm doing a book on black history and being able to have a couple of interviews and stuff. And one of the questions that I asked a person just over to me yesterday had to do with those people in the community. And if he started running around out, you know, Miss Jones, they went in at the window, talking to the little side crowd, which is saying, you know, how the community was held together, and then the ones, and, you know, how his dad was saying, you know, it was like a pet or a hush worker, but his dad was always in some kind of business, and this kind of stuff. And these are the side of things that we have to go back ourselves and redefining his legacy. I'm not positive, because if they were white, what can I do with these good entrepreneurs? It is, we have got to get into listening to the very same that we came up on, and how solid it was, but we those feedings from the outside, that from those control mechanisms. I mean, I pick up the basis of that, and I say, well, Michael, this, and I'm like, well, you know, Michael is a solid character. Well, Michael Cohen is the only black-owned radio station in this town. He got a pipe in multi-million dollar media models to give advertising, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, have you ever thought he might just be content? It is how we label something that really gets our dough. And so, you know, when we look at the, we look at the whole Rett syndrome as we know it, whether it, whether it exists or not, we know it's a syndrome exists. It's just like, you know, people tell you, you don't necessarily get colds when you get cold. Well, that's true. You get colds much closer to cold weather. We also know that there are some things that we react to. I mean, every cost below a certain level, whether it's because you got the air conditioning on, or you got the heat on, or whatever. Those things happen because of that. We get ourselves caught out on a limb so long. If we cut the limb before we come close to, before we get past the point of the limb's going to break. And you don't even know, wow, how come I'm down here on the ground when I was up in the tree?
But see, Fred, part of what you just said, though, has to do with the fact that, just like you said, now they're quoting Tupac and Biggie, and while there are credible things that Tupac and Biggie did and said, there's nothing else that's coming out of that. They can't quote Baldwin. They can't quote Fanon. They can't, because they're not on videos. People have to read books. That's truth. Yeah. And it's that, and it's that undeniable truth that's being missed, because Gary, as I go to you on this, we got to reflect on what Attorney General Holder said right from the jump. I don't know if he had Negro Domus powers and all of this, but he was the one who said at the very beginning, America has a problem with race, and we have to deal with this shit. Now, of course, they subsequently tried to defame him so that they could stop him from being a Supreme Court justice with the Fast and the Furious thing by inventing a scandal that would not allow him to ascend to the highest court in the land and affect in a positive balance, you know, the setup, the insidious setup that Bush Jr. put together in 2005 when Alito and Roberts ascended to the high court.
In
There's no more of any kind of thought process in thinking before speaking. We've got this morass smack in front of us. We know where the source is. The mainstream media knows where the source is, but no one is looking to do anything about it because it's suiting somebody's agenda. That's what disturbs me most here. Now, as I say that, I'm adding to the mix Patrick Farrar, editor at JCE TV, and Cowboy Reggie, sneaking in from WCLM 1450 in Richmond. I want to change the... Patrick, are you there?
Live and living color.
Reggie, you there? All right. Now, I want to change the subject for just a taste because I wanted Patrick to take lead on this discourse because we talked about a subject a while ago, and it had to do with a talking head, a sports talk host named Chris Russo, who said in so many words that black people should not be doing sports talk radio or that they can't do it. Now,
can't do it.
That's right. Can't do it. Okay. Never mind what we've been doing all along here, but I digress. Patrick?
Fellas, how are
you? Anybody up on this one, brother? Jump on it.
About 2 weeks ago. First of all, hope everybody's okay and everybody's fine. Good talking to everybody again. About 2 weeks ago in New York City, a guy named Chris Russo, who was a partner with Mike Francis, you guys probably know about him. Mike and the Mad Dog, which was probably the most productive sports radio show in terms of producing revenue in New York. It was. But their two egos couldn't get along, so they split. And when they split, one guy got $5 million, another guy got $7 million. Francis is still...
Either one of them worth it, but go ahead.
That's another story.
Exactly.
Francis is knowledgeable, there's no doubt about that, but his ego is as big as in New York City, and he's an arrogant SOB.
Preach, brother, preach.
And I've been around him, from... days when I was friends with the Nets, and you used to walk around. It got so bad that guys want to deal with him. When in the locker room, guys wouldn't talk to him. So of course, then they sent out the reporters. So they split, and Russo got it like a $5 million deal with Sirius Radio, and he was a sports director. So you know what that means? Ain't no brothers getting hired nowhere.
That's right.
So about a month ago, he made a statement on the radio. On the satellite radio saying that, there aren't any blacks who he would hire because blacks he can't find any blacks to do sports radio. He can't find enough. He can't find any. People call and said, "Are you crazy?" He said, "Well, that applies to black Chinese." Everybody to hide what I really think. And it was on the front page of the Daily News, but nobody called his punk ass out. It all goes back to the tenure of what sports radio is all about. Someone said, I told you about before, it was Bill Russell, who said when it comes to black athletes and black blondes should be seen and not heard. And that's applicable to how sports radio and sports broadcasting goes, that you guys play the game, but we'll tell you how the game should be played and give the critique. You play, that's your specialty. Our specialty is telling you the critique. And believe me, even our boy Stephen A. has made a statement that he's going to do a piece on, and some folks are going to like it, how there ain't no brothers in the sports talk radio field, or even less in the newspapers, and even less now in doing sports on TV. I mean, there are some faces that you see on major networks, but in the words of a guy, a production guy I met a couple of years ago, we were doing a broadcast, and a truck came in from Colorado, and the sound man, who had a great setup with this particular production company, he made a statement. I had my interns with me. He said they were very impressed with him, and he asked them where they wanted to go, and they said, well, they wanted to
you know, following my lead, we wanted to go out, you know, another part of the country to get their career started. He said, well, west of Chicago, good luck.
Yeah, no shit.
Good luck. But it's true. But it all goes back to the fact that it's a particular field in which the Old Boys Club is alive and well. And this guy's statement is really based upon saying that, you know, black folks can't do this. This is a Old Boys Club. This is our thing, and nobody's qualified. And my thing is, yes, these guys acquire a lot of knowledge. They get a lot of access to information that make them smarter than who they really are. It's funny, particularly when Francesa, who started in the business 20 years ago, one of the guys that merely got him started, in which he padded his field of, in terms of expertise, was a guy named Art Russ Jr.
WABC.
Yep. That's right. And the trick about it was, Art Russ was having financial problems. So Art Russ the guy that said the racist thing about the Rutgers players. What's his name?
Hymus.
Oh, he's talking about Hymus.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those guys would give Art Russ money in the back room because Art Russ is making money. You know, he was having a rough time. So they're getting money, but they would filter out information from him. So eventually, when the fan started, Art Russ was nowhere to be found.
Exactly.
And Francesa and Pete Franklin, all those guys started and left Art Russ Jr. out, and it took off, and it's now a multi-million-dollar entity today, pushed by them. So basically, as I wrap up, Russo is a punk and a faggot. Said just like that. I've been around him. He's kind of, I call him an urban bigot. He ain't strong enough or got the guts enough to be racist because he know he get his ass whipped in a heartbeat. But
here's one thing that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But you have to understand, only certain kind of black athletes are going to be on his show. He's only going to get a certain kind of black athlete. He's not going to talk to any strong black athlete. I mean, in classic case, when he interviewed Deion Sanders years ago for a Super Bowl, he was trying to tell Deion he took players off, and Deion says, yeah, so what?
That's the
bullshit
at him right there.
Hold on. What am I doing trying to run on the catch you for? What are you talking about? Plays off. He said, when I get on my side, what happened? Next question.
Exactly.
And you could kind of sense that those guys don't like that kind of response. And of course, they kind of mentioned that after he left. They wouldn't do it while he was on air, obviously. But anyway, that's it.
But now let's get to the heart of this, because Reggie, how long have you been involved in sports radio?
15 years.
Okay.
You were faking. You can't really do that. Go ahead.
Okay. Gary, how long have you been involved in sports radio, Gary?
About 12, 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Patrick, how long have we known each other? When did we first meet? I was trying to. Yeah, at least 20 years.
Good 20 years.
And at least 20 years, Patrick has been on air at least half that long. And we have to also add to the fact that, let's see, Larry Hardesty, Pat Freeman, and Buffalo.
WLMB, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Gary Cobb right here in Philadelphia area, former player, but, you know, he's just one of those folks who just happen to know what he's talking about. My man Doc in New York City.
Doc Stanley.
Dan, I mean, I can run them off. And never mind the fact that I did do radio. I've done radio in two countries. But that's not the point. The point is, the issue isn't so much Russo saying they can't, is him being afraid of knowing that there are cats like us who are out here who can do this. And that the format that are, and the standard that Art Rush Jr. set, really, it was another thing that was taken and utilized
that didn't benefit Art Rust or any other black journalist, because it was done for the express purpose of them making money and for them to have another forum in which they could do exactly what's been done in press boxes since time when people started picking with the typewriter and watching the action, so that they could dictate to you their version of what they think. They'll tell you what happened. And this wasn't so much even as much as a black thing as it was just a persona thing, because if you remember from the movie 61, which was an excellent movie, by the way, done by Billy Crystal, where it showcased the Mantle Maris home run chase, they didn't like Maris. They didn't like Maris. And they didn't like Maris because Maris was a family man. He was the one who was going to go home to his wife straight after the game if she was there. But when they was on the road, you know, he holed up during the season. And when he had a chance to see his wife and kids, you know, he was a doting father and parent. You know, Mickey was out there fucking everybody he could get a chance to. And, you know, he'd wink, wink and nod, nod with the same newspaper paparazzi and shit. And they would, you know, avoid all of the stuff that he did, all the dirt, and protect him. Exactly. Can you imagine the Mantle Maris? Fred, before you say anything, Fred, can you imagine what the Mantle Maris thing would have been like now? With the amount of attention and technology and access to 24/7, 365 sports action. Go ahead, Fred.
I can imagine that Mantle probably would have stumbled down some steps some other way of would have gotten a black eye. And probably
exactly.
Not from there, because somebody else would have done it for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, but then, you know, we go back to an old analogy we use. It's called the sports entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't about reality. Reality is what the boneheads like. Big Vitale, you ever watch one of his games? You ain't seen nothing he talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
His whole contribution to Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo and how fast allowed he can say nothing about everything and be wrong. And see,
also true.
Unfortunately, these are the highest paid ones. They push Billy Packer out because Billy Packer would question certain things. Love him or hate him. You know, and don't get me wrong, I do have a special relationship with him because he was one of the ones who helped integrate basketball in North Carolina as well as across the nation, because I've seen pictures of him on our campus back in 1960-61 at a time when you could still go to jail for that kind of stuff. Whites would have been arrested. We would have, you know, some of my guys would have been arrested for being over there on Wake Forest's campus, but they welcomed them. And see, these are the kind of people they pushed to the side. There's a few others, and you know, look at the kind of people they want out front. That fool that comes up out there, oh, the little kiss, that no-calling moron. These are the clowns that they want out there, but you know.
That's right.
Let's back up and take an objective look at this. Look at who, most, you know, other than a very few, a very select few, look at who out front today when it comes to doing play-by-play and color and eating as well as the talk shows.
Yeah.
Either washed up white boys or white boys who never were.
That's right.
So this is what. So these are morons. You got to, you know, get these quote-unquote objective opinions of what they mean somebody. Baseball, Bobby, Benia, Willie Stargell, he was short for a first baseman.
Yeah.
He was effective. What's his name? With a thick skin and couldn't catch the ball any better than anybody else. My pick was a low ball, he was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they were mad, you know, he's kind of tall. Open your legs, bend your knees, pull.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fundamental. You see, you've never seen a fundamentally sound black kid.
See,
these are people that they want out front because they're gonna say what they want to say. Again, Larry Bird was an intellectual basketball player. And how many classes did he flunk? Come on. The boy's so dumb even acknowledge that. You're so dumb to acknowledge his old daughter who looked
classes he flunked. Let's go further. You're going to go there. Go all the way there. Never mind the class. How many babies did he make and nobody said shit about it that was out of wedlock? You know, that's the
And like I said, and there's one in particular. I remember seeing her on, I want to say 60 Minutes or one of the shows like that. Now, on that particular one, I was, Larry Bird is as close to my uncle, and we had 22 kids, and well, 21 kids, we married by. And my uncle's grandchildren, matter of fact, this is Bonnie, you know, that kid is a great-grandchild. And if you look at him from his nose around his eyes, you can say, that's one of Lonzo's kids. Right there, a third generation down. So, you know, this young lady, I mean, you know, to favor him, she has this kind of cute, little pick.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a Midwest girl, so she's a little pick, but, you know, still, she looks just, it looked like he spit her out.
Not it, man.
But he had her instead of her mother.
Hold on a second, y'all, because I got to throw Celeste back into this now. I've known Celeste a long time, and I know that Celeste knows her sports. As a matter of fact, first time we met, we saw the Long and Shard together, the original Long and Shard. So I know that even though Celeste may not have wanted to go in this direction, Celeste, you see some of the people who are on sports now. You see some of the women. Pam Oliver's, the Michelle Tafoya's, people like that and stuff like that. You know, they put their time in the business and stuff like that. And I'm sure if they had a forum where they'd be on a radio show, they could do it just like you're doing this thing now. You don't even work at doing this, but you can do it because you know your stuff. Now, because they haven't really brought black women into the mix on all this stuff, you know, you were there in New York. You heard Art Rush and you heard the whole fan thing as Patrick put it out there before you. Throw something in the pot on this, Rob, and tell me what
from
you see
from a female perspective.
From a female perspective, for real.
Well, I can sit back and look at some of them and say, wait a minute, that person got my job because they're not bringing anything to the party. Okay? Mm-hmm. They got nice names. What's that one? She's got names sound like a cowboy almost, you know?
Then Nicole?
No, that's the one that Joan Namath wanted to kiss, you know.
No, that's Susie Colbert.
That cracked me up. But anyway,
I was glad I met too.
Really? That was hilarious. Joe was poor for it. But what's the show that comes on in the morning after Mike and Mike?
That's Jamel Hill you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
No. She's on
Numbers Never Lie. Yeah, they do, but the numbers don't.
Stephen A. up against the crazy man for a minute. Right. So you have the sister sitting there with the pen. And she's watching them go back and forth. And she throws it to commercial. It could be she knows her stuff. Janelle knows her stuff. I don't have a problem with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a problem with her because she's not a real reporter, but I digress.
Well, no, she's not a reporter, but she got to do what she got to do. Okay. She did come up through the ranks. She started out, you know, newspaper room, that type thing. She worked her way up. I don't have a problem with that because she got more going on than that crazy Mad Dog.
Oh, please.
Okay. Look, you know, I get mad at my husband because he watched that crazy Mike, and I said, I call Mr. Like he play, like he's a ranger, like he's a net.
Exactly.
Like all he do is drink Diet Coke and run his mouth, and if you call him up with any kind of intelligent question, he hangs up on you.
That's right.
So, I'm not going to tear the sisters down. I just wish that there are a few females out there who are trying to get, they love sports like I do. And I watch them all, mm-hmm. I know them all. So you're not going to come and tell me, give me some flim-flam and I'm going to shut you down. But they're throwing the pretty girl out there. They're throwing the fluff out there. Give me somebody
that's
to
know.
There's a lot of women who love sports.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One of the best basketball games, you want to go see a game, go to a WNBA game.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, and I can afford it, and I can bring a couple of kids with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Depends on what section you sit in. You sit in some of those gay sections, you better watch them.
Now, watch it now. One of my best friends is one, but that's all right. She played with your dog state. She's 6'4". She can play. Now they can ball. So,
I'm not talking about the fans. Because I've been to a Mystic game.
Well, yeah, but
the ladies and the fans get kind of crazy. You think
well, they get kind of crazy, but, you know, I've been to a couple of basketball games and a couple of hockey games with some drunk men. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another. Sports fans are generally out there.
Idiot.
You go to a ball game, right? Just yesterday, the man's eating. He fell over. He fell into the bullpen. Okay?
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, you go to a sports game. You don't sit there cross your legs and drink tea. At least I don't.
Mm-hmm.
My first date with my husband was a doubleheader at Shays. You know, it was all that great.
Yeah, but don't joke.
I love baseball. You know, in the rain, got my hair wet. So, you know, how many sisters you know could do that?
Well, that must have been the, no doubt. Patrick, the bigger issue, again, and there was, Celeste brought up the female aspect. We know in the early days, ESPN did have competent people like Gail Gardner and Rhonda Glenn, and they split the group.
Yes.
They saw what direction the place was heading and whatnot.
Right.
Now you got Doris. Now you got somebody like Doris Burke who does know her shit, and she's a mind in between all of that. And I've literally been around people who said they don't want to hear her describe basketball because it's unnatural, because she's female. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that shit?
That's great. That's for some people who can't play and don't know the game.
Exactly.
There you go. How many women coaches, basketball coaches? Now, come on now, tell the truth. They know their stuff. Okay.
Every year.
They could announce, but you got some goofy dude sitting up there laughing and joking at everybody, throwing popcorn up in the air and all this kinds of stuff.
That's all the mouse is doing.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about strategy, if you're talking about different plays, whatever you want. If that's what you want, fine. But that's not what they want. That's not what's making them the money.
See, that's the issue. Because that's the issue. Every year when the NCAA women's tournament has come out in the last 2-3 years, and Gary and I have been consistent with this, you know, we talk about the fact that whether it's Carrie Lawson, whether it's Carolyn Peck, oh, Lord, I love Carolyn Peck. But if it's Carolyn Peck, or any of those other women, they don't need the goofy guy that you just said, Celeste, sitting there overlording the situation. Just leave them the fuck alone and let them do their job. When you're in an organization like ESPN that really is not forwarding real journalism, and it goes back to the sports entertainment business, as Fred has alluded, this is the bigger problem. Because you want to see basketball, and when you see women's basketball, and you see women who are competent at it and know their stuff, I want to hear from their perspective. I don't want to hear a guy speaking in the middle of this bullshit. So, Carolyn Peck coaches the national championship team. I want to hear what Carolyn has to say about whether or not Notre Dame's outside shooting is going to be effective enough against the 2-1-2 defense of Louisville. That's what I want to hear.
But let me give you another example. You brought up Pam Oliver. Pam Oliver knows her stuff. You know, she's been frozen and rained on and everything. She got more press for getting hit in the head with a football for all her knowledge and years on the sidelines.
Well, I agree.
And that's the position of Ed Andrews, who
conversation. And that's where the problem comes in, where if
guys like Russo, if you're not talking about the Yankee first start in December, who gives a damn?
Exactly.
You're not talking about some inning from 5 years ago from some unimportant game just to prove that you have a recall about games means nothing to me. If you don't have a freaking line of thinking, you can't be right. He's right. A brother can't be in the show with him because a brother ain't gonna talk about that BS that he's talking about. That's what, and here's what's worse. A brother don't talk about track or boxing.
No, they can't. I know for a fact Doc Stanley has been on as a guest, and Mr. Boykin, who is an expert on boxing, has been on, and they grudgingly admit that he knows this stuff because, you know, the little jackasses of the sport, of this industry will grudgingly admit to such. So when Russo says this, again, it's his own fear that, in other words, I ain't hiring no black people. Y'all can forget that shit. And if you ever came with a resume, I would steal whatever
$60
from it. Exactly.
It would overshadow him to have some intelligence sit there on the air discussing sports with him. He's not stupid. He's a jackass, excuse my mouth. He's a jackass, right. but he's not stupid, see.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have one of you brothers or someone out there to sit next to him and have conversation, intelligent conversation about sports. He's not
going to
do it.
And this is the kind of thing I look at and say, well, where does this come from? This clown that you're talking about, to me, as a card-carrying Republican, sounds just like what? I call him the Rush Limbaugh of ESPN.
Yeah,
whatever the network he's on.
There's
one guy I caught on ESPN Radio. He comes on, I want to say, around close to noon.
That might be Colin Cowherd or whatever the fuck his name is.
Please. The Herd.
Give
me a break. This guy is so full of himself.
Exactly.
And then the Pac-Man, Billy Packer's son. Had a chance to tell him to his face, because he was in Charlotte. And he didn't want to come to the CIAA because he thought it was trash, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to ask, you have to lay the questions out to white folks in a way they understand. Okay. You say the CIAA is trash and always was, but we got Earl Monroe, Sam Jones, both of whom are players who played their way into the Hall of Fame. You also have a sweat, you have Les Reed, who played him his way into his, and as I want to get into this whole league of guys who ought to be in, who still get scrolled
over
because they didn't go to white school.
That's right.
If the ACC was so great in 1960, when it was really white, how come all the white boys disappear? These are the kind of things that these people cannot face up to. You know, take all of those out of the picture, because Bill Russell came from a white school. Although he was born in Louisiana, he's from San Francisco, he and one other ACC show.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now, looking back at the NBA 5 years before Bill Russell came in 1955, imagine. Remember, back then, NBA means no blacks allowed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see, they don't get
even those when it comes to ownership.
But see, but my point is this. I'm actually glad this clown said what we can't do. Because remember, we couldn't play quarterback, we couldn't play center, we couldn't play middle linebacker.
Don't get me started on that.
Almost half the centers are black. Most of the middle linebackers are black. And the growing number of quarterbacks, no matter how they get screwed over in the draft, I give you Mr. Russell Wilson, who ain't tall enough. A suspect arm, et cetera.
All he does is win. They said about the white boy, all he does is win. General Wilson, all he does is win.
If I remember correctly, I've heard rumors that when Lynn Dawson came up, they had a list like 66 people. He was 16.
I can look when that Dawson in the eye. They were full of shit. I'm 16.
I might be able to look
them in the eye. Okay, by now you might be, so that ain't no joke on that shit.
There are people who know football who also, one of them was his teammate in college for at least three years, catching balls, and they said he was a better quarterback than Lynn Dawson and anything else he had in the camp at the time, but he was black and they were white. Jim Kearney ended up becoming
safety.
Kearney and Snake Wolf were, look at that track record. These guys were student leaders, smart students, et cetera.
Natural leaders.
They changed positions and became team captains and took teams as well, unfortunately. Nate was with Cincinnati, and they went to see individual Pittsburgh being set a team.
That's right.
Another Ohio team that was so many green neighbors were. But, this is the kind of thing that makes me glad that this guy said this. Because guess what? Within the next few years, you Negroes ain't got no chance about nothing. And you say you can't do stuff, you don't listen.
That's right.
You go out and you take over stuff. We couldn't be Marines prior to 1942. We could not be Marines. I was in the company of one, two, and three-star generals just a couple years ago at the CIAA. And one of the two of the two stars were together, and they were talking. And so, this is why white folks didn't want to tell the Marine Corps, you guys just take over everything. And they looked at each other, looked at me, and was like, what? So remember, I hope you know that the first Marine key from this in his hometown. And one of the guys said, yes, I know that. We were told we couldn't be Marines. A young lady from my hometown commanded a Marine base, actually the Marine base where the first black Marines were trained down at Mumford Fort. Bless her heart, went back there where several members of her family as well as some people from her hometown trained as Marines when they were doing more trying to break them than make them Marines. And she went back. But my point is, the thing that has always made us successful is tell the Negroes they can't do it. They just mess it up. The only failure is their success. I give you the Tuskegee Airmen. I give you the Royal Purple Marines. I give you USS Mason. I give you the Triple Nickel. We were not supposed to be able to jump out of airplanes.
That's right.
Well, guess what? The 82nd will be jumping about this time tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They're going to be brothers come out on planes. And guess what? Right over here, I don't know if you hear this in the background, the helicopter's flying over. Several of those pilots out there are brothers. And the pilots are co-pilots.
But, friends, we can't let the truth get in the way of the story. And Reggie, you being on a radio station, you know whoever gets their hands on the information really is, to quote that commercial, the most interesting man in the world. As you disseminate information on a weekly basis when you do your show, what's your main premise? Is it to get the story out there? Is it to tell it from our side? What do you do that you know, if you had a chance to look Chris Russo in the eye, you could spit in him collectively and say, this is how it should be done?
In all due respect, I'm going to give the guy the time of day.
Thank you.
Because he's the epitome of white supremacy, but also he's the epitome Joe Madison always says that America's been culture conditioned, that white is fair and black is inferior. And the manifest destiny is that when it comes to that issue, we're undervalued, underestimated, and marginalized. And that's why I always take that out to Dr. Perry Witt, because you'd be surprised how many Negroes were upset with me when I told them that John B. McClellan was being stuck to four corners. Mm-hmm. They were highly upset, couldn't believe it. And then we had Earl Lauderdale. Oh, well, look at this man. He'll say that really pissed him off that when we talk about the early Negro baseball players, and then when I say, oh, by the way, Babe Ruth was black. And they said, no way. I said, well, guess what? His mother was so damn near white that she was mulatto and she was a hooker in Baltimore. They hate that. And it was not the same racist speaker filth that was calling him the N-word. And that's why I think the film is in the Hall of Fame.
You dropped that on that hero.
He's a Babe Ruth. Every time they talk about the home hitter, I tell them, by the way, Babe Ruth was black. And I said on Easter, I said on the Babe show, you can hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
They
know.
Randy,
just to throw a piece of gas on the fire.
That's
the fire. And, you know, sometimes you have to remember, he was the first, black man in baseball. No, he wasn't.
Okay.
You know, he was black in baseball, you know, before, I want to say before Ty Cobb, so he screwed over Ty Cobb and Al Landis, who said, there would never be a nigga in baseball as long as I am the president.
That's
right. There's never be no nigga in baseball as long as I'm the commissioner.
You know, this is important. What we're saying is, as collectively, is the debate, is the kryptonite of these guys at sports media.
That's right.
History that they don't know and they want to know because they have no idea what's about and will blow the cover off of what they're saying they do.
Doctor, don't even get me started on that.
Babe Ruth, one of those cats, it doesn't matter to them. Like you said, they'll quote statistics, and we know statistics and oftentimes can be for losers. So it's a matter of who tells the story. And when we hear the talking heads do this thing, and I hear it down here in Philly on WIP all the time, they don't even advertise journalism. Their catchline, and I said this on a previous show, it's not, we promise you the best sports talk, we promise you the best information. No, their catchline is drama guaranteed. Now, that tells you everything that my friend says about the business. They're letting you know, we don't really give a fuck about news, but if it's something that comes up, that we can, like, get a gotcha moment on, we'll throw that shit in the pot. Yeah, boy. You know, we'll get you on that. But don't tell you any real news.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to this whole thing about Babe Ruth and the black, you know, anybody else, really, remember what their rule is. If you got one drop of color stuff in you, you color.
That's right. One drop of color.
That was their rule.
Most of you all are northerners, so you all may not take it that way, but in the south, that's how he takes it. So he got some
bitch
slap. That means she colored. That means
that's
she
right.
colored too. Was. And the only sad thing about it, he was such a drunk that nobody knew what color he was most of the time anyway. But oh yeah.
Now, we start talking about people, you know, well, this woman about 20,
25 years ago. There's a show on the Oprah show on a book she wrote about black folk who passed for white.
Yes, I remember that.
You start doing that. I mean, I tell people all the time, well, there's only one black woman who has a golf tournament named Bill. So what black woman has a golf tournament? Who?
Forward thinking, God rest his soul,
still pitched up when it mattered most because he knew how good he was. He was so good that he drafted him in the first round. He drafted him before Kent Staver. But his own racism wouldn't let him get in the way of saying, this guy's the best guy. We got to let him play. Because, ironically, Al Davis was also responsible for Joe Gillum being taken down in Pittsburgh. I didn't know this. I saw this and I said, wait a fucking minute. Al Davis calls Chuck Noll and says, you know, Bradshaw should be started because Bradshaw went over to him and cried like a little bitch, saying, oh, I should be starting, blah, blah, blah. Can you trade me to Oakland? It's like, get the fuck out of here.
And there was 3-1-1 at the time. I remember exactly what happened. Yes, indeed. Yeah, that was an up and running Cleveland cause. Buzz and Joe was killing him. And Bradshaw, wouldn't cry, would dive into the hands and in his mouth, saying, I need to play because we got the red, white, blonde, white image, needs to be the head of the team, the image of the team, and that's when he took over. I remember it well. That broke my heart.
Yeah,
that broke my heart seeing that.
Yeah, what about me and Joe Green? Look at me and Joe Green. All up here, he's trying to stay in coaching. Hope he can just get a shot, an inkling.
What you just said, Reggie and Patrick, this goes to exactly my point. They don't want this on the radio. You know, there's nothing profane about it, but just those realities. If we said this, this turns the argument around. Not that we want anybody to agree that black quarterbacks are better or HBCU football was better or that the AFL because of the HBCU athletes was better. It's simply because we can put the argument out there.
Black NFL coaches.
Yeah,
they
said
that.
Black NFL coaches. Will never be an NFL coach.
Come on. Lovey. I mean, how many times he going to go north, south? Come on.
Lovey, Archell. You know, all those jobs.
The biggest dream. Look at all one person in that dream.
That's
right.
This is what we have to cope with. This is why Chris Russo really is cowering in his boots. It has nothing to do with being better. He knows. And that's why. He knows the same way that the eighth character that Maurice Evans played hid what went down in the Planet of the Apes movies. Because he knew that once that truth came out, it was exposed to the world, and whatever they had going on was blown. Mm-hmm. What they have going on right now is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And I'm talking about this whole sports talk genre. And I would suggest to all the soul patrollers who like sports movies to watch 61, because it really is a good movie. And you'll see how when they take apart the Maris and the Mantle personas, and you see what the sports writers here in New York, and I think the person that they're talking to in the movie, who is the guy who is the lightning rod for all this, is a little shit named Dick Young, who wrote for many years for the LA News. When you see this, you'll realize this was no accident that this thing evolved to where it did, because the same suits were sitting in offices deciding that we can make money off of this, and that's where Fred's argument about sports, and well, not argument, but his reality about the sports entertainment business really does come into vogue here. And Mike also knows where his bread is buttered, and he doesn't want any competition, which is why he would say exactly what he said.
And Mike, 2 weeks ago, you mentioned Dick Young. There was a great article about Dick Young and Jackie Robinson. You should look at the storyline. Look at the 2 weeks ago. That article is phenomenal. How Dick Young tried to backdoor Jackie Robinson. It wasn't that before, but they brought the article back. I mean, Dick Young was a monster, man. He was a monster.
Hey, Patrick, I want to throw something at you real quick. Patrick, Texas Longhorn. I want to see this year how the media puts after that young man that's the head coach of that football program.
That's true.
I'm telling you, Charlie Strong better be strong. One thing he got against him already, whether he likes it or not, is who he has on his own when he walks down the aisle. You know what I mean, Mike?
That's what the trust say, man.
He looks better than everybody else. He really ain't talking about any bad.
I tell you, now, let me bring a point up to you. You brought up a very interesting topic. Rise with the Mets for 7 years.
in the front office. I had a guy coming from Detroit. I'm not going to mention his name. Came in from Detroit, from the Pistons, as a VP of sponsorship. All right? And when he came in, he told me he was promised a job. You know, he's going to be a senior VP. And I said, well, you better stay a VP. And I said, no, I'm going to be senior VP. We had a function where we had gone out with all the, went up dinner with all the executives and went out with girls and wives. And he brought in his white wife, who looked like the bomb, because she was a 10K runner. Now, I said right there, you ain't going to get that promotion. You know what? Because, he went to law school and decided to go back and forth. Plus, you got a white wife who looks better than all the wives in the room. What kind of job do you think he's going to get?
Alabama's basketball coach.
Well, they're a football school. Your football school.
And guys, let's be real. I'm going to tell my friend. I'm going to tell
him. He was the first black coach in Alabama history. That's right.
I'm going to cover the 55 million. You know what I mean? Because you're going to make the school worth 55 million. For that one.
There you go.
Hey, come on,
you know what? Well, I'm saying, if he's going to make the school 155 million, then the players need to be broken off a little something.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
There you go again, using logic.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm not logical.
Keep up a lay as we now know it, and two, whatever the league becomes, because the model is already there. You have the ACC. Who don't need the NCAA? You got NCC, who don't need the NCAA?
Mm-hmm.
You got the Pac 10, 12, or whatever the number is, and the Big 10, 12, 15, whatever it is. And then there's that other league or two out there that they're going to take and also ran for whipping boys. And when they get when they got that in place, you go out and beat up on Northwest at the beginning of the year. Beat up on Great Forest at the beginning of the year. And then you get out of the series ball and play, your two rival games a year. Then you play the other eight with the young league for your conference numbers. And you don't need the NCAA.
And you can
play them colors well or you won't.
Last week, EA Sports settled for $40 million.
for men's track team is still a non-entity, because the last male track star he had was Ralph Boston, and he's older than I am. But, you know, but when it comes to HBCUs, HBCUs just got to wake up. You know, the president's in chance, got to wake up, sniff some coffee, and eat, you know, whatever they got to sniff, because they still play this as an extracurricular activity. They don't understand the business side of it. And this is business. This could be big money. We found that out with Winston-Salem State because we went to the playoffs several times. And I'm more than happy to see him. We had 6,300 students. We're playing, we ended up losing to Wayne State. People go, Wayne State, that little school, it's a Division II school. Wayne State is bigger than the University of North Carolina, is bigger than NC State, is bigger than the University of Virginia, University of Tennessee, you name it, they're bigger. They're Division II by choice and by choice of the legislature, much like the various schools in Pennsylvania other than Pitt and Penn State. They have, they're mandated to a Division II level. There's only, I think, four Division I schools in all, two Division I schools in all sports in the state of Michigan. That's Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, I think it is, Michigan State, and Michigan. The rest of those schools, if I'm not mistaken, are Division II or 1AA and maybe Division I in basketball, because there's really no major separation other than how much money you can spend.
But Fred, answer Reggie's question. Think how much better HBCUs would do, Reggie, if they could guarantee or they could count on a four-hour block, even 4 hours block of sports programming from black radio talk show hosts, or at least people who are passionate about HBCU ball. Now, think how that would matter. Think how the word would get out on what great schools were there. Think how kids would think twice about going somewhere else if we keep emphasizing that. You know what? You go to HBCU, you'll get a degree. You know, sports will only
have to be a student. You would actually be a student athlete. Let me throw something out to you. You know who Donald Ware is?
Oh, yes, I know Donald Ware.
Okay, you need to tap into him. He's up and coming with what he's doing. I've known him about 10 years. He's come a long ways. But, you know, a little direction and exposure would help him a lot because the passion is there. I mean, I think his father played wide receiver at some school. He's no athlete himself, but he has a passion for the games and for HBCU. So, you know, he's top
shelf. I think it's something for Sean, right?
No, I'm talking about Donald
ain't
played nothing.
Yeah. I've had the chance to meet him, and
he's
a little misguided when he had me try to believe that Rex Grossman was a better quarterback than Donovan McNabb, but I digress.
There's things he needs to learn, but, you know, we all go to that stage.
I want to answer real quick if I can. We had a local talk show host, European, upset with the young quarterback potential for the contract, the quarterback. And I'm like, that's in my check. We're on the capital society. If it's a market affair, then what's the problem? Oh, it's not worth $20 million. They should just send a $1 million in their franchise. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but every time a black quarterback, and low MS Kevin contract coming up next, as long as Russell Wilson, these guys go out of their way to try and tell the black quarterback, especially when it comes to that money. I don't know what it is, man, but they lose their...
You know what it is. No, wait a minute. Hold on, Reggie, don't say that, because you know exactly what it is.
It's the same thing we talked about when Patrick opened up the discussion with Chris Russo. Mm-hmm. They have a mandate to make sure that black athletes are not looked at in a positive light. You can't get more obvious about that. When Kevin Durant donated $1 million of his own money
to those relief victims out there in Oklahoma City, and Jamel Hill's funky ass said that he's not gangster enough as a basketball player. You know exactly what is going on. That's why I can't enjoy basketball, because I know, as much as I would like to be objective about it and much I appreciate San Antonio and their run, I don't want to hear this shit about, well, Popovich believes that European basketball players are smarter, because that will be part of what they'll talk about. I don't need to hear all that other shit, because what their real issue is, it's the league and ESPN versus LeBron James. And it's not even a game anymore. It's become too political. And the politics, why it came of age.
Calls in the first quarter.
Yep.
And the politics
came of age during this. You saw what they did to them in game five, because they wanted that thing extended to six games. And they almost lost that game. So we know there's a mission here. If LeBron James is not the same mindset as Jonathan E. was in Rollerball, you're going to see the beginning and the end, because the nonsense will be never ending, and the suits in ESPN will be rubbing their greedy little hands, because they know they can run with this all summer long into the beginning of next season, because they'll talk about how LeBron failed. They'll talk about his legacy is tarnished. They'll talk about how it was absurd of this nigga to think he was as good as Michael Jordan. After all, Jordan's our nigga. We can say what we want about him. So all those sidebars.
Jordan went to Carolina.
All those sidebars will come about, and there'll be sports talking heads doing the damage, by and large, because they'll perpetuate this shit. And they'll get the fans, just as the way Fred defined them, agreeing with them and baying like sheep, because they won't really understand the depth of what they're trying to do to this young man who came into the league as a teenager and was asked by the league to support their brand. That's right. Underpaid is exactly right. Didn't matter. And now when they decided that they couldn't control him, now they're going to try to degrade him. And you better believe ESPN is hoping for that, because those three people that he said he'd never talk to again, those may be him, but you better believe ESPN has three more to take their place, to take the marching orders of denigrating LeBron and doing their damage and showering more shit on this parade as this thing comes down before they get the tap tomorrow night in the playoff finals. Gentlemen, oh, I could go on, but we're going to have to pull some brakes on it now and give everybody a taste of stuff that's to come. So as I say this, I want to give some love to Patrick Farrar and Celestial for coming on. They had to sign out before we could get the final thoughts.
Thank you for taking the time to listen tonight. I'm sorry that we have to add a little sad note to everything, as Otis Taylor, the first of the great big receivers, passed away. We already know that Otis did damage when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, and his play made him a dominant figure in the AFL's view, as they beat Kansas City, beat Minnesota. Sadly, again, Otis Taylor's gone. He's not in the Hall of Fame yet. We finally got Snake rallying. Hopefully, Otis will finally get some love. Take care. We'll see you Wednesday with the Hump Day Special.